Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry, John Bird, and Tony Gardner.
Charles, I'm so sorry about Martin. It's terrible news.
Thank you, Archie. Yes, I'm heartbroken. I'm bereft. Distraught.
He's such a loss.
Irreplaceable.
You were there, of course. At the end.
My dear Archie, how can you ask? I positively cried in my trousers at the exact moment that the judge said 7 years.
That judge was a swine.
Yeah, but some style, I thought. A polished act.
A polished act indeed. Poor Martin looked so frightened and vulnerable. Mind you, I suppose you would in the dock at the Old Bailey.
Yes. Martin is so little and the dock so big. Had to keep jumping up and down to get sentenced.
Ascot is my judge. I am not guilty.
Yes. How did the judge reply to that? He isn't. I am. You are 7 years.
Martin had the last word.
Oh, hardly that. And it's not the height of wit, is it, to call a judge an overpromoted, bewigged pillock, is it?
Well.
And what did the judge say in reply to that? Mr. McCabe, this evening I am taking my wife to a performance of Spamalot. We are then going to dinner at the Dorchester, following which we are going home to Roger each other senseless. You are going to Belmarsh. Now who's the pillock?
It was utterly tasteless.
Yeah, it was very cruel, certainly.
Charles!
Yeah, all right, I'm sorry. So, Archie, you're taking me to lunch.
Yes, yes.
And to what do I owe this unaccustomed honour?
I'll explain over lunch.
Then lead on! Oh, damn, shall I? Shan't I? Well. Prentice McCabe without the McCabe?
No, you aren't.
Oh, Martin, hello, we were just talking about you.
When are you getting me out of here?
Well, getting you out is just what we were talking about, isn't it, Archie?
I am not spending 7 years in here. It's appalling.
Yes, yes. It is a general idea, of course, though.
I'm sharing a cell with a man who did something unspeakable to a chicken.
Martin, you are in my thoughts.
Well, think about getting me out of here.
Stoicism, Martin.
Bugger stoicism.
Courage, Martin.
To hell with courage.
Martin, let me give you some advice. Climb every mountain.
Don't be ridiculous.
Ford every stream. Follow every ray. Well, you can't, I suppose, really, can you? Well, you see, the fact is, people need a sacrificial lamb. All the years of cronyism, sleaze, lying spin, somebody had to be seen to pay.
And it had to be poor Martin.
Well, there was never any serious chance of the PM being carted off in chains, was there?
You'd never have thought it of Martin, would you? Selling the Millennium Dome to 3 American billionaires, 2 Russian mafiosi, the Sultan of Brunei and Jade Goody. It was a big mistake putting Prentice McCabe in charge of Labour Party fundraising.
Garby, it was strictly McCabe on this occasion.
Really?
Oh, yes. I handed that straight over to Martin. I was busy at the time. I was on the committee to decide what to do about Prescott.
What did it decide?
It's still sitting. my suggestion involving a poker, a stoat and a cement mixer was firmly rejected. The PM thought he might give people ideas about him.
You are ready to order?
Oh, I think so. I think I'll have the Belmarsh caviar.
Beluga caviar,
well,
sir.
Well, that's all you've got, yes. Then the snail porridge and the sacrificial lamb. And same for you, Archie?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And to drink?
Archie, something from behind the bars?
Do you think we should?
Oh, yes. I think we'll have the Morrochet to start, then a couple of bottles of the Obreol.
Certainly, sir.
It's odd, isn't it?
What is?
The whole thing. Martin setting up the Labour Party remote contingency fund.
On the grounds that the chances of the money actually reaching the Labour Party was a very remote contingency.
I hope you'll forgive me for saying this.
Well, a couple of glasses of Puligny Morrochet and I could probably forgive Saddam Hussein. What is it?
Well, Martin's conviction for fraud. It has all the hallmarks of a wheeze. It's got your fingerprints all over it.
None of my fingerprints were ever found anywhere near it. I never touch anything called fundraising, Archie.
A lot of the paperwork went missing, of course.
Yes, yes, it did.
And Martin claimed throughout that he knew nothing about the whole thing.
A claim rejected by 12 good people and true.
It was a very complicated case for a jury.
Archie, you can say what you like about the proles. They know a dirty, scheming bastard when they see one. I say that with compassion, pity and warm humanity.
Look, I've lived with Martin for 12 months and I know him. There's no way he could have pulled a stunt like this.
Well, what exactly do you expect me to do about it?
Well, you're my MP. You're Martin's MP. Campaign. Get him released.
Ms. Connolly.
Jessica.
Jessica, a backbench MP has no power to overturn a court's decision. And I have to tell you, McCabe is not exactly flavour of the month inside the party. I'm not going to boost my popularity with the whips if I start a Free the Dirty Scheming Bastard 1 campaign. Oh, I'm sorry. I know how painful this must be for you.
Yes, it is.
But what was it the judge said? You have besmirched, demeaned and polluted British public life.
But that's what's so ridiculous. Martin couldn't do all that. He hasn't got the strength. If somebody asked Martin to do some besmirching, demeaning and polluting, he'd have to go and lie down.
Have you taken your suspicions to the police?
No, well, they say the case is closed.
Yes, well...
Look, I'm pleading with you.
Look, Jessica, I am your Member of Parliament. I'm here to serve you. I will do everything I can.
You are a wonderful man. And to think of my Martin being banged up when that crook is walking free.
Who exactly?
Well, Martin's partner. Prentice.
Archie, are you asking me for a job?
Charles, I've spent the last 10 years working for New Labour. Much of it in Downing Street. Nobody will touch me with a barge pole.
Archie, Prentice McCabe has spent the last 10 years working for Downing Street. Mind you, we do have a fairly broad range of other clients.
Exactly.
But thanks to Martin, the agency has received a great deal of free publicity over recent weeks. The papers are calling us Prentice McConmen. We're in no position to recruit new staff, Archie.
Charles, I'm desperate.
I noticed that 10 years ago. I suppose you could come on work experience.
What?
Yeah. You'll get your bus fares and a cup of tea.
Charles, I have been a senior advisor to Tony Blair.
Well, go and work for Cameron, then. He likes all things Blairite.
I couldn't work for him. I mean, what are his policies?
Oh, I can answer that. Yeah, no, I can't. No, he's against chocolate oranges and in favour of Norwegian dogs. No, that's not it. No, he's against Norwegian oranges and in favour of chocolate dogs.
I don't think that's right.
Oh, I've got it. Vote Conservative, there'll be free chocolate Norwegians on the NHS. Knew I'd get there. No, you couldn't work for him, could you?
You see, I really feel you ought to give me a job, Charles.
Why?
I could help to make sure that the paperwork which is lost stays lost.
Is that an attempt at blackmail?
Charles, do you remember a policy proposal from Prentice McCabe for a super casino, a 24-hour pub, a legalised brothel and a hospital all in one building? What was it you called the idea? A full, modern, drunken, riot leisure package?
I think the idea was Martin's.
Oh, no, Charles, that's not what the paperwork says. I especially remember your argument that it was environmentally sound. It cuts out travelling, you said. Young people get roaring drunk. They are transported on escalators past tasteful murals of Al Capone and Hannibal Lecter. They can enjoy all the amenities of our riot area and be in accident and emergency in 30 seconds.
Well, the Prime Minister thought it was a good idea.
Charles, this is a PM who thought Jeff Hoon was a good idea. And what was your argument about a brothel and a special clinic next door to each other with flashing neon signs saying Pox Doctors Rock?
It was blue skies thinking.
The decision was that British society was not quite ready and that some of our newspapers certainly weren't. I wonder if they are now.
You know, Archie, I've suddenly remembered there is a vacancy at Prentice McCabe.
Excellent.
It's a part-time position.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't a part-time position.
And I shall need an office large enough to accommodate my skeleton's cupboard.
You are a wag, aren't you?
Look, you see, with the best will in the world, it's difficult to argue that Martin is completely innocent.
But it must have been Charles's idea.
But there's no evidence of that. And look at the titles he was dishing out. One business tycoon alone became High Sheriff of Somerset, Fair to Middling Sheriff of Dorset, and Low Slung Bum of Berkshire. And all for £500,000.
Yes, well, that hardly merits 7 years in the nick, does it?
Yeah, but what about Archbishop of Canterbury? I mean, there isn't a vacancy. We've already got one. And there was Martin trying to sell the position for £3 million.
Well...
to Charlotte Church.
And what was that email the police found? Great idea. We'll call her the People's Archbishop, T.B.
No, that was a forgery.
Says who?
Downing Street. And I'm happy to accept their assurance.
Are you?
Well, what about Queen? I mean, you can't flog off the position of Queen, for pity's sake. Not even for £10 million. Even Richard Branson drew the line at that.
Yes, he offered £8 million.
Yeah, look, the truth is this, Jessica. If Martin hadn't got caught, the Labour Party would have been very rich. And Britain would have had 3 queens, several popes, and enough lords to fill the Millennium Stadium.
Bad day, sir.
Yes, James, it has been.
I expect you're missing Mr. McCabe.
Well, you know, it's an odd thing, but there are worse things in life than Martin.
Sad what happened.
Yes. I mean, funny, of course, but not without its tragic side.
You bastard!
Oh, no, let me see. That must be the organising secretary of my fan club. Jessica! Straining up under the bear, are we? Looking after Martin's house and Martin's money? Keeping his yacht warm?
You never liked me, did you, Charles?
It's interesting, isn't it, the way sometimes one's instincts are on a kind of fast forward. In your case, I think I formed an instant dislike 3 months before I met you.
You just can't believe that I could love Martin for himself.
Jessica, nobody could love Martin for himself. Can't be done.
That's why he needed me. Thanks to you, he was drowning in cynicism.
Martin McCabe did not drown in cynicism. He swam in it, like an Olympic athlete. Until that night when he suddenly seemed to go mush-brained.
That magical night Archie introduced us.
Archie introduced you? Yeah. Yes, I must admit I'd forgotten that.
Oh, don't worry, Charles. You'll have lots of time to remember the past soon, when your more colourful emails start coming to light. Like this one, for example.
Oh, Sarah, I wouldn't call myself extremely important.
But you were always in the papers.
Oh, well, the press will have their fun. Mm. The PM never makes a move without consulting Archie Hilditch, his invaluable right-hand man. One learns to live with it.
Nothing to do, Sarah?
Oh, I'm just going. Oh, David Cameron phoned and he set up a commission to decide whether he's going to phone back.
Oh, Charles, I've got an email.
Yes, I've seen it.
From CP to TB. I realise this may be of questionable morality, but...
Yes, my dear Archie, there are a number of perfectly reasonable explanations.
Such as?
Well, I mean, CP could be anybody.
Like who?
Charlie Parker?
Charlie Parker is a dead trumpet player.
Well, you can break anybody's alibi if you try hard enough. Look, the thing is, Archie, this email is not evidence.
Well, what about great TB? I suppose you're going to tell me that was Tom Baker.
No, Archie, now you're just being silly. Obviously, that was the Prime Minister.
Ah.
And clearly what he's saying here is that the very idea grates on his nerves.
Charles.
Well, actually, that one didn't even convince me. Look, the point people still haven't grasped about the PM is this. Whenever he says something, he means the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
Well, take his party conference speech. Everybody thought he was saying goodbye, when he was actually saying, hello! I don't know why you say goodbye, I say hello! Hello!
Charles.
Or is that a piece of irrelevant mental meandering?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Ah, yes.
I knew it was yours.
There you go. Oh, yes, what is life if full of care we have no time to take the piss out of Gordon? To that end, Prime Minister, I suggest we invent an alternative leadership candidate. One so ridiculous, so preposterous, so completely incredible. And we build him up to destabilise your next-door neighbour.
Yes, go on.
Well, I did go on. I went on like this. Happily, a name suggests itself immediately, Prime Minister. Alan Interesting Johnson. I know what you're thinking, sir. The man is so boring, he would make 100 great football phone-ins sound interesting. I suggest we start running this in the Sun and the Times. If it comes from Downing Street, they'll print any old rubbish. And within weeks, those pompous asses known as lobby journalists will be nodding sagely and whispering to each other, Alan Interesting Johnson.
There.
Yeah. There what exactly? I'm not denying authorship. But what has that got to do with cash for honours, eh?
Read the last bit.
Very well. Yes, there is a P.S. Oh, I realise the Alan Johnson joke will only have a limited shelf life because it is so frankly incredible. However, when it's run its course, I suggest we swell party funds by flogging him to the Americans as a genuine village idiot. You can't blackmail me on this. You can't spell the word joke, can you? This isn't evidence of anything. I didn't seriously mean we should flog Interesting Johnson to the Americans. They wouldn't buy him. They don't need a village idiot. They've already got one.
I merely point out to you that there's an explicit reference to party fundraising with your signature on it.
Oh, for pity's sake. I thought you were here on the basis that bodies would remain buried and skeletons would stay in cupboards. So-called incriminating emails are not part of the contract. At this rate, there'll be corpses and carnage like an episode of Midsummer Murders directed by Tarantino.
Charles, I'm on your side.
As Daryl Hare said to Inzamam al-Huq.
No, I mean it. I'm here to help you.
Are you?
I want Prentice McCabe to survive and prosper. Believe me, I mean it. Free for lunch?
Well, I rather think I'm going to take the Divine Sarah for lunch, actually. Sarah, I'm not the sort of boss who says, I want to run a happy ship. Ship can be as miserable as bloody sin, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's making me lots of money.
That's the thing about you, Charles. You're a very honest person, except when you're lying.
That's the most brilliant analysis of my character I've ever heard. Look, I do want people to be happy, really. It's just that I want me to be happy as well. Now, obviously, you're getting on fine with Archie, which is great. I just sort of wondered why, really.
Well, he's got such great plans.
How do you mean?
Well, when he becomes chief executive.
Chief executive of what?
Prentice McCabe.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is when, not if, is it?
Yeah, he said that. Well, you know, that you wouldn't be round much longer.
Did he
said that you'd be joining Martin in Slam City.
Oh, did he?
He said that you were two of life's natural-born naughty bunnies.
Oh, did he?
He said that I was a bright young woman and I had to look after myself.
Sarah, I think I ought to buy you a second drink.
Well, you haven't bought me a first one yet. So, we're closing in on the second one.
Poor Charles. He's going to wonder what's hit him. You know, Prentice McCabe really is worth an awful lot of money.
Oh, yes.
I hadn't realised. Everybody who's ever been up to anything slightly doubtful has at some time used Prentice McCabe. Their client list is extraordinary. Banks, football clubs, Fraser the Razor of Bethnal Green.
The company's assets are still very considerable.
It is ironic, though, isn't it? They were never anything to do with party fundraising. They weren't involved in cash for peerages at all.
I think you and I both know that, Archie.
Still, it is ironic, isn't it? Charles and Martin, they've... what's the expression? Stolen some horses together.
Ducking and diving and bobbing and weaving.
And now they're crashing and sinking and flopping and dropping. And they're innocent.
Martin, will you stop your incessant whining? I know about the food and the conditions and people beating you up. Into every life a little rain must fall. It's not all champagne, sunshine and rumpy-pumpy.
Don't you mention rumpy-pumpy to me.
No. Come on, not the bending over in the showers. That's such a cliché of prison drama. It's so yesterday. Well, I suppose in your case, it's yesterday, today, tomorrow... day after. No. You're right. Your situation is an outrage.
I already know I'm innocent. What are you doing about it?
I'm devoting my every waking hour to getting you out.
Well, that's a change of tune.
It's not a change of tune. I may have increased the volume a bit. Martin, you and I have been the victims of a wheeze. Us, Prentice McCabe, nobody does that and gets away with it.
So?
So, the first thing to do is to get you moved to an open prison.
Well, it will be better than this.
Never mind that. It'll mean you can do business. Much of British industry and the entire Department of Culture, Media and Sport are run from open prisons. Who in the prison service owes P. McSee a favour?
Charles, I've got to go.
Oh, my word, we're going to have fun beating these bastards.
I've got to go.
Martin!
Charles, I've only got a cheap phone card and Fraser the Razor's behind me in the queue.
Oh, is he? Give him my love. How is the old meat cleaver?
I've got to go.
Martin, I miss you. And that's as much of that as you're going to get for the next 20 years.
Charles, hi.
Ah, he likes peaches, he likes cream, he's the captain of the team.
Charles, you're quite well.
You know, I've spent all day thinking, what do you remind me of? First of all, I thought silk purses and sows' ears, and I thought, no, it's a cliche. Anyway, what about those poor old sows? They all go to collect their pensions and saying, I can't hear you, but I brought my purse.
Irrelevant meandering, Charles.
Archie Martin is the only man who was ever able to shut me up. You are not in his league. Then I thought, something glossy, showy, meretricious. Looks good, but doesn't deliver. Well, it's Tony Blair, obviously, but he's a bit of a cliché himself. Then I got it. You remind me of an anonymous Australian.
Charles, I am neither anonymous nor Australian.
No, but the chap who wrote this was, there was a young man from Australia who painted his bum as a dahlia. Though the colour was fine and so was the design, the aroma was rather a failure.
Charles Prentice, Jack Bibble.
Ah, good of me to see you. Now, you are Martin McCabe's Member of Parliament.
Yes, and I've done everything I can.
Oh, I'm sure you have, and no doubt you were lobbied to do so.
By Jessica, Martin's partner, yes.
Yes, of course. I want to ask you a slightly personal question. How did she strike you? Attractive?
Well, yes. Bright.
Pushy?
Well, certainly that, you know, quite a young woman. I mean, none of my business, but Martin McCabe is...
No spring chicken, no, indeed. More a chicken giving the last squawk of autumn, isn't it? But that is food for thought, isn't it? I mean, how did she lobby you? Plaintively, I imagine. Piteously, even. Well,
she was very insistent, although the last time I saw her, she did say something odd. She said, I must be seen to have explored every avenue. Struck me as a strange way of putting it.
Isn't it? Mm. Yes. Well, thank you. You've been most helpful. I'm afraid I have a most painful story to tell a fond, foolish old man.
Well, if there's anything I can do.
Kind of you, but no, this is down to me. Such a somber task, I can hardly bring myself to laugh about it. Although, I could try. Love makes fools of us all, Martin, and it's made a prize pillock out of you.
Very comforting, Charles.
I have
you.
No wish to add to the pain of a man in prison.
Good.
But you are a mush-headed, muddled old saddo led by his drooping, wrinkled naughty bits into an asinine alliance with a gold-digging tart.
Politically put and spiritually uplifting.
Martin, you're 96 years old.
No, I'm not.
Well, I could have sworn you were 90s. Well, the point still holds. She is in her 30s. What do you even imagine that she saw in you?
Intellect, charm, wit.
Oh, and money, possibly. The crinkle-tinkle of wild spondoolies calling to her across the plains.
I know that now.
So, Martin, when are you moving to this open prison,
Tomorrow.
Well, let's hope it improves your brain. I would say keep your pecker up, but none of this would have happened in the first place if you'd kept your pecker where it should have been. Sarah, I'm going out for a while. It's time for some people to learn that if they think they can outwheeze Prentice McCabe, they are sorely mistaken.
I'm going to have to lock up now, sir. It's past midnight.
Right, yes, yes, splendid, yes.
That is one mountain of paperwork.
Oh, I know. I feel like George Smiley wading through the files.
Looking for the mole.
Oh, I have the advantage of knowing who the moles are. There must be discrepancy in this evidence somewhere. Couldn't bring me some more claret, could you?
Well, seeing as it's you...
Got it! James, forget the claret.
You're going home?
No. Now, bring me a bottle of the best champagne in the house.
Right.
A toasted bacon sandwich wouldn't come amiss.
Bacon sandwich?
And have one for yourself, of course. Martin's paying.
Archibald Pius, Joan of Arc, Assisi Hildreth.
I didn't know you were a Hindu, Archie.
I am arresting you in connection with the sale of honours under the crown.
It was Jessica's idea.
Oh, they've arrested her already, Archie. She seems to think it was all your idea.
My officers are waiting outside, sir, if you'd like to go with them.
Charles!
Goodbye, Archie. See you again, although not any time soon.
Mr. Prentice, we appear to have made a mistake.
No. It was only by chance that I spotted it, really. You see, on these dates here... Martin wasn't in the office. He suddenly decided, you see, that he needed an urgent business trip to Jamaica. The exact time England were playing a test match there, as it happens. But here's the point, officer. On this day here, Martin was in the West Indies. He couldn't possibly have been offering to make Jamie Oliver chief rabbi for £1 million. Thing was an elaborate wheeze to take over the assets of Prentice McCabe. Trying to implicate me was the big mistake. Made me start rummaging.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the appeal court will expedite your partner's release. Goodbye, Mr. Prentice.
Hello?
Hello, Charles.
Martin, I have wonderful news. You're going to be released.
Oh, right.
Well, you might sound pleased.
Well, I am.
So, how's the open prison,
It's rather pleasant. There's a cricket pitch, swimming pool. The company is much more civilised.
Yeah, well, anyway, you'll be out of there soon.
Well, you know, Charles, I don't think I want to rush back to work after all I've been through. Anyway, can't stop. I thought I'd motor into the country for some lunch.
What?
Well, if it's good enough for Geoffrey Archer.
You bastard!
Now, Charles, courage, stoicism, climb every mountain thing.
You swine! I haven't slept for the last week trying to clear your name!
Dear Charles, you deserve a peerage.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry, John Bird and Tony Gardner, with Saskia Wickham, Michael Fenton-Stevens, Bethan Walker and Joseph Kloska. The music was by Matthew Scott and the producer was Dawn Ellis.